the beer that you're taking is in at least 25 bars in the city right now. And the guy said, well, where are they? I said, I'm not telling you that. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and we are in the Kensington section of Philadelphia at the Memphis Tap Room with Brendan Hartranft, the owner of the Memphis Tap Room. You're a businessman. What's your business?
My wife and I operate three craft beer bars and restaurants in Philadelphia. We're decidedly in neighborhoods, which, you know, for those people that don't know Philadelphia that well, we're out of the, you know, the central area or, you know, the financial zone. We prefer to be in, you know, kind of more residential neighborhoods in Philadelphia.
So you've got the Memphis Tap Room in Kensington.
We have the Local 44 in West Philly, mm-hmm. and we have the Resurrection Ale House in Grays Ferry.
Brendan, what happened? Why are we talking to you?
In addition to, you know, a lot of other people, we, you know, the past 2 months we've been talking to a lot of folks about, you know, what kind of happened to us. Mm-hmm. And what happened was... everyone's saying raided by the PLCB. I really prefer to call it an on-site investigation.
So what were they looking for? What were they investigating?
They had gotten an anonymous tip that we were selling unregistered beer.
Okay, now, explain what's the concept of an unregistered beer.
You know, concept of unregistered beer isn't really that bizarre of a concept. I mean, you're moving alcohol, you know, and that's something that was... controlled by the ATF, but after 9/11, it turned into a different organization. Right. But everyone's got to register, you know, what they're doing. It's, you know, it's a controlled substance, and it's something that, you know, every state and city makes some money off of.
Right.
So registration is a way that they can, you know, get $75 per beer.
Okay, and so every beer maker has to, they register each particular brand of beer
yeah.
that they bottle and sell.
Exactly.
And it costs about $75.
$75 per brand per year.
And you were selling unregistered beer.
Without a doubt.
What was the beer?
It was a pretty big sweep. You know, I mean, there was some stuff that was out of one of my locations that was, you know, like a multi, you know, national... international brand.
Can you name?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, Hocker Sure was unregistered, okay. and Hocker Sure is a you know, massive beer.
Yeah.
You can get it, and you can get Hocker Sure in China.
The maker is responsible for registering.
The brewer is responsible for registration.
Okay, so it's not that you failed to register. It's that you were moving an unregistered product.
We were selling an unregistered product.
Did you know it was unregistered?
None of the time.
Yeah.
All things being fair, I was aware of the registration process, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I knew that that's, you know, what had to happen for a beer to come into our market. So I wasn't completely unfamiliar with the idea of a brand
being
registered.
But you assume if you're buying it from a wholesaler that
it's taken care of.
Already
yeah.
registered.
Exactly.
Okay, so then they come in, they investigate what happened. Were you tasered?
I wasn't tasered, no. I was stunned,
yeah.
Mainly by the fact that
right.
they were here.
Psychologically
okay. stunned. They had come in and they said that they had an anonymous tip that we were selling unregistered beer, and they asked to pretty much right. check out our inventory, and I think that it was something. I think they were a little shocked when they looked at the size of our inventory,
right.
and figuring out how to figure out what was registered and what wasn't. They had come with a very crude list of what they must have just pulled off our website as far as what we had on draft
right.
and. You know, the PLCE is actually who came out. They're in the enforcement arm of the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. And it was a very crude cross-check of what may or may not have been registered.
Right.
So to give you an idea, it was essentially like a spreadsheet on an 8.5, 11 piece of paper. And it said like the name of a beer. And then in the comment cell of the spreadsheet, it would say, might be registered
right.
or not registered or
and
registered.
Then, hoppy, malty.
No, that would have been nice.
What? How much did you end up getting fined?
That is still kind of ongoing. They have a year to figure out what our punishment is.
And you pay the fine, not the brewer, or the brewer also pays.
I will be held responsible. Okay. There's something in Pennsylvania. If you're a license holder, you're governed by what's called strict liability.
Okay.
So, you know, the onus is on me. It's
what happens going forward? How does this affect you as a businessman? Do you now take more or less care or the same amount of care in making sure your brands are...
Well, the brand registration is really, you know, now everyone, because of, you know, the impact of it, you know, everyone is making sure that it's registered before it even gets to me. So, you know, it's, now, I mean, obviously we're checking, you know, I'm checking every day to make sure. So, I mean, it, you know, it's another 5 minutes out of my day to make sure that, you know, I got everything, you know, taken care of. The thing that, you know, really resonates with me about the whole thing and what I do think about on a daily basis is that whoever placed these calls is familiar enough with the laws that, you know, it leads me to believe that they're also, you know, operating in the craft beer industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just scares me to death because, you know, what we're doing is pretty specific, you know, and it's kind of predicated on the idea that we're all in it together.
So then, what you're getting at is that these rules can actually be, you know, the explicit nature of them is to protect or to keep track of, you know, beer, et cetera, but they can actually be used by competitors or by the government or an authority to shut you down and you alone.
Well, that's kind of how it worked out. Now, I mean, I could have played it differently. I could have, you know, when the PLCE guys were here, I easily could have said, hey, well, I said to the guy, I said, hey, the beer that you're taking is in at least 25 bars in the city right now. And the guy said, well, where are they? I said, I'm not telling you that, you know, but it's something.
And you certainly wouldn't expect a member of the Liquor Control Board to have any idea of where to find bars, right?
You know, I mean, that was part of the thing, you know, that was a little frustrating with it was that, you know, when they wrote these, you know, laws for registration, there was like 50 breweries in the country. You know, and now what they're doing, they're using those same laws to control, you know, we understand that they need to be controlled, but they're using the same laws to control what's now, you know, almost 1,300 breweries in the country. You know, I mean, we're not getting all those beers, but, you know, there's a lot more beer than there was, you know, 20 years ago. There's a lot more beer than there was 10 years ago.
Well, let's end it here for Reason TV at the Memphis Tap Room in Kensington, Philadelphia. I'm Nick Gillespie.
Brendan Hartranft.
Ha ha ha.